Hello, and welcome to this live recording from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, this time from Pastor Nick Scott. So sit back, listen in, and enjoy what God's got to say to you.
Welcome to our Sunday night service. Great to be together tonight. Welcome. And we certainly pray that as we gather together tonight that the Lord will be with us. We believe he will by faith, but certainly I pray that that would be your experience, that you would sense the presence of the Lord here in this place. So I don't know if this happens to you, but usually somewhere near the beginning of the year, someone comes to me, perhaps they would come to you in the same way, and they ask the question, so, what are your plans for this coming year? I guess it's one of those conversation starters, you know, what they really want to know, or maybe they're trying to make a conversation, but they probably expect the sort of answers that might come by the question, do you have any travel plans? You know, is there a, or is there perhaps a family wedding coming up or some big occasion? What are your plans for this year? Or perhaps you might expect that for some people their plans would just be, well, it's just going to be another year a bit like last year. I'm sort of still at university, so it's just another year of uni or another year of school, or I've just started a new job, so it's just another year of work. But what are your plans? What are your plans? So here we are now a third of the way through the year. And so I've modified the question a little to say, what are your plans for the rest of this year? And if you're sitting here tonight thinking, well, I'm not really a planner at all, you might modify it even further to, what are your plans for the next month or the next few days? But as we begin tonight, we're talking about God's plans and ours. And over these next few weeks, we're going to be considering together what the Lord's saying to us through the book of Proverbs, the Old Testament book, the wisdom of Solomon, and perhaps some others who might have had some injection of insight there. But we do have a reading from Proverbs 16, and David MacArthur is our reader for tonight. Thank you, David.
Proverbs 16, verse 1 to 4. To humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked, for a day of disaster. And Proverbs 16:9. In their hearts humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps.
Excellent. Thank you, David. And just take note there of verse 3. If you've got a way of highlighting that on your device or in your Bible, if you're a highlighter, then let's grow into highlight. We're going to focus on that verse tonight. Commit to the Lord, whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. In fact, why don't we just read that together? Commit to the Lord, whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. So what these verses, I think, collectively tell us is that when it comes to your life and the way your life plays out, there are a couple of different important factors involved. And one is God's plans for your life, and the other is your plans for your life. And there's an interaction, I'd suggest, a relationship between those two factors that's very important for us to understand as we negotiate our pathway through life, seeking to live godly lives before the Lord. So let's start with God's plans. God has a general plan for humanity, which is the salvation of his people. And it's a plan that's unfolded all through the scripture, but which I think is perhaps best summarized in Ephesians 1, 9 and 10, which I've just referenced there. We don't have the verses out for you, but here in those verses we're told that God's master plan is to bring all things in heaven and on earth under the headship of Christ and under his authority. The authority of Jesus. This is God's master plan summed up in a sentence. To bring all things under the headship of Christ. So we understand that in heaven, that headship, that authority of Jesus is already firmly established. Would you agree? He is seated on the throne. In the heavenly realms, Jesus certainly is Lord in every sense. And when he taught his disciples to pray, he said, pray this way, may your will be done, Father, on earth as it is in heaven. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, may your plans be unfolded on earth in such a way that is consistent with the heavenly reality where there is even now total submission to the authority of Jesus. So that's the current reality in heaven. So when we pray, we should be praying, may your will be done on earth as it is perfectly in heaven. That's God's general plan. That's what he's doing, bringing alignment on earth to what is already in place in heaven, giving us on earth, if you like, opportunity to jump on board with his eternal plan. And the day will come when, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven, as is already the case, and on earth, and under the earth, whatever we might interpret that to mean. It's pretty all-inclusive. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2. So God has a general plan. He also has a specific plan for your life. And perhaps one of the most quoted verses of the Old Testament is Jeremiah 29:11, which you might want to look up, where you might know it already, where the Lord speaks to his people Israel, who are really having quite a bad time of it, aren't they? Having been taken captive into the land of Babylon, a foreign land. They're all feeling just a bit abandoned by God. And God speaks into their struggle. And he says to those people who are lost and, in a sense, in captivity, he says to them, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So if things seem pretty grim for you at the moment, I don't imagine you've been sort of taken captive in a foreign land, but maybe things are looking pretty unpleasant for you at the moment. Understand, the Lord will help you through the grim times, and he does have a brighter future ahead for his people. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for us collectively as followers of Jesus, but he has a plan for you individually. Ephesians 2:10 is another reference there. It tells us that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ for good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Suggests that even before the creation of the world, when God had you in mind, he also had specific plans for you and for your life, things he'd prepared in advance for you to do, people for you to meet, opportunities for you to explore, new horizons for you to take on as you negotiate your way through life and as you make your plans. God has plans for you. God has general plans for all of us. He has specific plans for you. Here's the amazing thing. God gives you and me the freedom and the opportunity and the responsibility to make your own plans. And to do so with his plans clearly understood and in focus, so that there might be alignment between his plans and your plans. The problem for most Australians is they go about their everyday lives making plans as if God doesn't exist. I wonder if the same reality exists for many people in the church. They go about making their plans. Do we go about making our plans, our day-to-day plans? Think of those plans you just discussed with people at the beginning of the service. Without reference to God? Well, James 4 has some things to say about that. He says this, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, we'll spend a year there, we'll carry on business, make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. And so really there we see James is urging us, urging his readers as they make their plans to recognize the overall sovereignty of God. And in some ways, these verses from Proverbs and others like them in other parts of Proverbs are really, in one sense, about the sovereignty of God. What they're saying is, you know, people make their plans, but actually the Lord is sovereign. God is sovereign over all. So, you know, go ahead and make your plans, but understand that it's the Lord who in the end has numbered your days, and he will determine how things pan out in the end. That's the sovereignty of God. You might have certain things in mind for this life, but ultimately, God is in control. Now that said, if we look more closely at Proverbs 16:3, which we highlighted earlier on, we see this verse contains a command and a promise. The command, I've just spelled it out for you there, the command is, commit to the Lord whatever you do. And the promise, which according to the syntax of the verse, is dependent upon the command, if that makes sense, the promise is that he will establish your plans. Now, that strikes me as incredibly gracious. It doesn't say that God will establish his plans, although that might also be true. That's kind of, as I read that proverb, that's kind of what I expect it's going to say. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish his plans in your life. It doesn't say that. It says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and the promise is that God himself will establish your plans. He'll give recognition and honor and whatever else to your plans. Some versions say that he will cause our plans to succeed. See, God, in his sovereignty, the almighty, all-powerful God, he could just roll out his plans and force us to fall in line. But he doesn't do that. Instead, in his grace, he gives us, as I said before, the freedom and the opportunity and the responsibility to come up with our own plans. And then he says, now commit those plans to me and I will establish them. Wow! Isn't that a wow moment for you? Very quiet out there. What a remarkable thing. And should cause us to then, therefore, think carefully about our plans and how we go about making them. So let me talk now about committing. The Hebrew word for commit, which we find there in that verse, commit to the Lord, whatever you do, interestingly, actually means to roll. You know, we talk about rolling out plans. I'm not sure where that comes from, but this word commit means roll. It's the same word used in Psalm 55:22, which says, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. It's a wonderful verse. Actually, literally, in other words, he's saying, roll the burden of your cares, these cares, these anxieties, these worries that you have in your life that are too much for you to carry. Well, just roll them onto the Lord because he cares for you. Same word is used here. Whatever you're doing, roll it out before the Lord. Your ways, commit them to the Lord, roll them out. So that got me thinking about what it means to roll out our plans and to commit our plans to the Lord. And, most of us, when we plan things out in our minds, whether it be the sort of job we'll have or the life partner we'll choose or where we might live or the number of kids that we're going to have, those sorts of big issues, big plans of life, we have something in mind that we see ahead, even if it's not a fixed plan. We kind of think this is where we're going, and I've got a couple of props courtesy of Jason's collection of sporting goods. We have this idea in our mind, and we sort of see things panning out, and we think, well, I'm going to do some study, and at some point maybe I'll get a job, and things will to roll out, and things will sort of kind of go in a straight line. I'll get married, I'll have kids, this is sort of the way that I think my life's going to go. However, for most of us, things don't actually usually go quite as we have planned. And so therefore, our rolling out of our plans actually is more like rolling out a football where we, once again, we might think it's going to go in a straight line. And if this goes in a straight line, I'm going to do it again because it's going to ruin my illustration. But we do a... Oh, that's terrible. There you go. You get the idea. Do you see what happened down the bottom there? It sort of went off in a dog leg where we think, we're making our plans and maybe life starts out well, but we think I'm going to do some study, I'm going to finish uni, then I'm going to get a job, and whoa, then I didn't expect that to happen. And something happens. Things happen through our lives that take us by surprise and are things we don't expect. Maybe things start out as we intend, but actually life's plans go off in all sorts of unexpected directions. I, for example, didn't plan to move to Perth 20 years ago and leave all of my friends and family behind and sort of, you know, bundle up my own little family that was newly formed and go to a place that I'd never been to before and start a new life. I didn't plan that. But as I look back, that dog leg that took me off in a totally different direction in my life was absolutely what God had in mind. But you know, it's that unpredictability that makes it difficult for us to commit, because wholehearted commitment means the surrendering of control and trusting the outcome, the direction, to the sovereignty of God. So people commit in different ways, and I'm going to suggest four different ways. See if you can identify with any of these four ways. I reckon if I'm honest, I can identify with all of them at different times in my life. Number one, some people commit superficially. And here's a hard-hitting word that the Lord gave Isaiah when he said, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they've been taught." Wow. You know, that's a harsh verse that's actually hit me between the eyes numbers of times in my life. It's not a good place to be, is it? I wonder if you've been there. I wonder if some of you are there even now. You come to church, you sing the songs, you go through the routine. But actually, if you're honest with yourself, you would say your heart is really somewhere else. And you might even in your circle of Christian friends use the right language, talk about the things you're going to do for the Lord or the things you are doing for the Lord in your ministry, but you know that your heart is not in it. And you're really just going through the motions. You're not really living for the Lord. You're living for yourself. And you know it. And the reality is, the Lord knows it as well. Of course. Of course the Lord knows. One of the verses David read is, "Our motives are weighed by the Lord." Let me remind you this evening, if you're one of those people who sort of is committing superficially, the Lord knows what's going on. You might be pulling the wool over your friend's eyes, even over your own eyes, but you're not pulling the wool over the Lord's eyes. Secondly, some people commit temporarily. They give God temporary control until things start going in a direction that they're not comfortable with. You know, I think of my own experience of that dog leg when I was in my late 20s, and suddenly I found myself knowing the Lord was calling me to Perth. I think, well, I'm just not sure if I want to go to Perth. Well, I could have resisted that, and my life would have taken an entirely different direction. See, it's that unpredictability factor that sometimes makes us feel as though no one's in control. And so having committed our plans, our ways to the Lord, sometimes when unexpected things happen, we're quick to try and, you know, race after that ball and take control once again. But, you know, sometimes I need to understand that my one-year plan might actually equate to God's 10-year plan. And what I think is going to be a straight line from here to there actually has all sorts of detours and twists and turns, because God has some things for me to learn along the way. Things like patience and trust. You know, trust me, says God. When things start going off in a direction you don't expect or you don't like or is making you uncomfortable or is causing you pain, trust me, says the Lord. Trust me. Character development. It's another reason people commit temporarily, is that having committed their ways to the Lord, they then have a crisis and they experience pain, and the crisis and the pain cause them to jump to the conclusion that the Lord has abandoned them. But the Bible doesn't say there will be no pain and no crisis if you follow me. Actually, it sort of hints at the reverse to that. It says, commit to the Lord whatever you do. And he will establish your plans, but he'll do it in his time frame and not in yours. Thirdly, some people commit passively. And these are people who often have a very fatalistic approach to life. You know, whatever will be, will be. So we might as well just trust God and just sit back and do nothing. And they often tend to over-spiritualize things with statements like, well, if it works out, it must be God's will. If it doesn't work out, then obviously it's not meant to be. It's a kind of a que sera, sera. You know, whatever will be theology. Often it's much easier actually to take on this sort of attitude because it removes the responsibility we have to step out in faith and take action and be proactive and actually set plans in motion ourselves as the Lord instructs us to. See, trusting God is not a passive activity. And committing your ways to God is not code for sit back and do nothing. Or that other cliche you hear sometimes, let go and let God. Sometimes that's actually a way of avoiding responsibility. Oh, I'm just going to take my hands off, let go and let God. I'm just going to sit back, just put my feet up and just let God take control. Well, God's not going to take control of anything if you're sitting back doing nothing. Trusting God is not a passive activity. In Philippians 2, urges us to continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in us to will and act according to his good purpose. A great verse that illustrates that whole dynamic of God's plans and our plans working in conjunction with one another. So passive commitment is not good enough. God is sovereign, but we have an active role. And finally, of course, what God requires is wholehearted commitment. And we looked at it before, but I really just do love the Message version of Romans 12:1, which we'll put up there for you. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. What a wonderful verse. What a wonderful way to start every single day. Whatever it is that I'm doing, I'm just going to lay it before you. Lay out my plans before you and entrust my day to you. Commit to the Lord whatever you do and he will establish your plans. And look at Proverbs 3:6. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. It was in a recent morning service, some of you might have been there, Graham told us about a conversation between a chicken and a pig. Don't think it's a true story, is it, Graham? No. So the chicken and the pig in this story, a bit of a parable here, they were discussing the fact that that bacon and eggs were on the menu for breakfast the next morning. And the chicken could see that the pig was looking quite worried about that. And so she said to the pig, what's the big deal? What are you so concerned about? What's the big deal about bacon and eggs for breakfast in the morning? And the pig said, for you, bacon and eggs is a contribution. For me, it's a total commitment. See, when it comes to your faith in God, you're required by God to make a commitment. It's a wholehearted commitment. It's like being pregnant. You can't be a little bit pregnant. You either are or you aren't. As a follower of Jesus, you can't be a little bit of a follower of Jesus. You either are or you aren't. When it comes to your faith, let me ask you tonight, are you making a small contribution of a portion of your life to the Lord? Or are you wholeheartedly committed? So let's take a few moments of just quiet reflection together. Let me encourage you, first of all, to bring before the Lord in prayer the state of your own heart. Let's just bow together. So I encourage you to ask yourself the question, is my commitment in any sense superficial? Lord, is my commitment just a temporary commitment because it's just what suits me for now? Is it a passive commitment? Because I just don't want to step up and take responsibility. Or is my commitment wholehearted? Just take a moment, just talk to the Lord about that. Now let me encourage you to come back to those plans you shared at the beginning of the service. Take a moment to roll out those plans before the Lord, in line with that verse 3. Commit your ways to the Lord. Commit them to the Lord and ask him to align them with his plan for your life, to see those plans established in him. Plans for this week, for this month, for this next few months, for this year, whatever it might be. Just in the quietness of these moments, just take some time to roll out those plans before the Lord and commit them to him.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. If you'd like to talk to someone about what you've heard today, then you can contact the team at Mount Pleasant Baptist Church by calling the office during office hours on 9329 1777. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to your company again soon. God bless.